And you're very welcome back to the programme, and I'm delighted to welcome on to it young Donegal actress Amy Beth McNulty, who's currently taking on a lead role in a show you can watch on Netflix, which we'll talk about very shortly. Amy Beth, thanks so much for coming on the programme.
Yeah, thank you.
So before we talk about the latest project and what you're working on, we might talk a little bit about your journey to here. So when did you first get an interest in acting, performing in the arts, that type of thing?
I think it was like around 5 or 6, and I just did like local ballet stuff and a couple dance recitals and just kind of normal things like that down in Angrenan. Moved on to musicals when I was like 10. So yeah, that's where it kind of begun.
And before that, were you that toddler that everyone was sitting around the front room watching performing? Is that it? Yeah,
yeah, basically. I was always the one who was like, no, I'm going to sing an hour-long song all the way back from Derry about ladybugs.
Yeah.
I don't know how my parents put up with it. I really don't.
But when they talk about that and talk about your childhood, which you're still enjoying, hopefully, do they sort of say, and your granny and granddad, what have you, do they sort of say, well, we always knew you'd be up on stage at some point or other?
I guess kind of. A lot of my family's kind of into writing or opera, so it always kind of, I guess it kind of ran in the family. I mean, both my grandparents were involved in the arts. So I guess I always had that kind of background.
And it's something you have to enjoy, isn't it? I mean, because as children, we have sort of short enough attention span, so unless it's something you really want to do, it's that's how you end up on that path, isn't it?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I always thought, like, if I don't do acting, what would I do? And it's really difficult because it always just somehow comes back to dancing or singing or acting or script writing or just doing something in the kind of arts. So that's kind of what it is for me.
So when did you start sort of saying, right, I'm enjoying what I'm doing locally, but I kind of want to spread my wings a little bit? I suppose too, to some extent, you want to test yourself to see, you know, am I a little fish in a big pond or a big fish in a little pond? So what was the next stage then for you? You started auditioning beyond the local productions.
Yeah, I got my first audition actually from my best friend's mother, Angela, who was an agent at the time. She got me an audition in London for Matilda the Musical. I got down to the finals twice, but I didn't get it. But then from that, I got an agent who I still have to this day. So, yeah, no, it was a big leap for me.
Yeah, but what age were you when you did that audition for Matilda?
I was 10.
So, I mean, it's still a knockback to some way. Obviously, now you can reflect on how things progressed for you. So, was it difficult at that time? Or I suppose that's where maybe your family structure and all comes in and say, look, this one's not for you, but it's coming down the line.
No, exactly. I think for me, because it was like my first audition, I loved doing the audition and I was definitely heartbroken just the first time, and then to do it another time and again get torn back from it. But I don't know. I mean, when I look back on it now, it was absolutely meant to happen, because otherwise I wouldn't be doing this. But of course, at the time, when you're 10 years old, rejection's hard, but I got used to it.
So you're doing stage work, okay, and then TV work's coming along as well, presumably thanks to this agent that you happened upon because of the whole knockback, as I suppose we could reference it. So you're busy then, so?
Yeah, I mean, I've done radio plays. I've done a bunch of stuff that I never thought I'd end up doing. I never imagined I'd end up doing TV or film work ever, because stage was always kind of my number one thing. And that's kind of switched around now, which is, it's really interesting. And I like doing behind the scenes as well, like props work and stuff. So,
and there's a lot of downtime, I presume, you know, between shots and what have you. So you get to explore that interest behind the scenes a bit too, yeah?
Kind of. Right. I only had the weekends off because I was working every single day for 6 months.
Okay.
So the weekends were either spent learning lines for the next week or going to one movie with the cast and then going back to learning lines. So, I mean, it was a schedule that was really hard because sometimes I was like, oh, I just want to go out with my friends or I want to Skype my friends back home. But I think once I knew, like, this is a job, like, you've got to put all your effort into it, it just got easier over time.
Because, you know, I mean, I'm sure part of you sometimes, especially when you're Skyping to your friends and they're saying they're doing this, that and the other, as glamorous and as exciting life that you lead, there must be some times that you think, well, I kind of would like to be doing the simple stuff too at times.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, there were times my friends were like, oh, we're going to go see this movie and we're going to have a sleepover. And I was just kind of like, oh, I'm working and crying for 4 hours in a day. And I think there were times I was definitely like, I just want to be normal. But I mean, who wants to be normal? It's so bland.
It's hard to define normal now too, I suppose. People are doing what they want to do. So I mean, getting involved in this production, is this the type of thing that, you know, the production company make or propose to Netflix, or is it something that Netflix commissioned? I know that that company mixed it up a little bit. So did you know that this role that you people can currently see you in now was for Netflix?
I knew at the time it had something to do with Netflix, but I wasn't kind of sure it was such a big deal as it was. I knew CBC was involved and I knew there was a partnership going on there, but once I got the role, that's when I knew it was complete, like it was going on to Netflix, and that's when I was like, oh, this is a way bigger deal than I thought it was.
Because, you know, the way people consume stuff has changed so much now. It's not about, you know, how many viewers you get in a Sunday night on RTE or BBC or what have you. Netflix, it's there and it's out there, and people are binging it, people are watching it their own way now, but it's everywhere. As soon as Netflix commissions something, you know, they're free to show it wherever they like. So do you ever think, you know, have you come to terms with that, is really what I'm getting at?
It's a strange question. I think it's really strange to have like comments or people getting in touch with me from like Spain and Italy and Portugal and Japan and all these different places, and I'm having to put them through like Google Translate to know what they're saying and stuff. That's really new to me. But I mean, it has changed. I think people can choose to binge, they can choose to watch it over time. A lot of people I know have binged it, which is a good thing.
And there's a bit of responsibility there for you, isn't there? Because, you know, as people get to know you, people follow careers, especially in your peer group, people a bit younger than you and older, of course. But, you know, they sort of, you know, they want to be you, they want to be like you, they want to know how they can do it. I mean, it's a lovely place to be for someone of your age and at this stage of your career. And when I use the age thing, I don't mean it in a patronising way either, by the way. But it's a great place to be at, isn't it?
No, of course. I mean, I'm very humbled to be 15 years old and I'm already blooming on Netflix. Like, that's insane to me. And I think a couple of my friends have kind of brought me back to the reality of it, of just being like, Imbeth, you're on Netflix. And I just have moments where I'm just like, oh yeah, I am. And I don't know, nothing's really changed that much for me, which I'm very happy about, and my family's kept me very grounded, so I'm very thankful for that.
So tell us then a bit about the show that is currently streamable then. So it's based on a book a lot of people would know about.
It's Anna Green Gables, written by Ellen Montgomery. It's an orphan girl who was sent to live with a family, and they were expecting a boy, and she wasn't. She's a fiery redhead with freckles and a big opinion on things, I guess kind of like myself. But no, it's a very intriguing story about watching her mature and grow up and what kind of trouble she gets into. But it's a family show as well, which is really nice, and kind of be able to have a whole family sit down to it and discuss the topics in it afterwards.
And I find too, you know, it difficult watching films that are an hour and a half or 2 hours, because Netflix and Amazon and other streaming services, they now tell stories in a much longer format, and I find it everything can be jammed into an hour and a half or 2 hours. So over the course of this 8 parts, is it?
Seven episodes,
you know, they get to really delve more into the story and tease characters out, like the character you play, which is a lead role.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's really nice because we're given a lot of time for each character to develop. It's not rushed, it's not felt very rushed at all. We're giving very beloved characters their, like, more into their backstory and what really happened to them, not just Anne, which is really interesting. And I think people who are fans of the books already will like it, and people who aren't familiar with it will get introduced to it.
So what's next for you? I get the feeling you don't want to be playing fiery redheads with freckles for the rest of your life.
I don't know. I quite like Anne, and I want to know, well, one, I want to know what happens, and two, I don't know, I like seeing her grow up. But I mean, if there isn't a season 2, because we don't know if there is yet, I don't know what I'm going to be doing.
It's been so well received. I know you don't want to chance jinxing it, but I mean, you know, they probably have a long plan here, you know, and because of the way people watch Netflix, they look at different algorithms and what have you. So we're going to see season 2, aren't we?
We don't know. I hope so, because I want to know what happens. Yeah. Never mind other people. I want to know, but we'll see in very, very soon. We'll know.
Okay. And so how long were you filming, and where was it filmed, generally speaking?
The whole filming started, it filmed for 6 months around Ontario, in and around Canada, Ontario.
And what was that like, being away from home so long?
Oh, I think at first, like for the next, like for the first 3 months, I was very homesick and it was awful. And I loved doing it, but it was like, I miss my friends and like, I want to see all my family again. And it's a complete change. Like, you wouldn't think it's that different, but it really is. So I guess it was just kind of getting used to it. But then after that, I mean, I love Canada now.
So back to the what next question, because obviously, you know, second series and all that, but that's probably not going to be enough for you. You've kind of jumped. I know you've done TV work and what have you, but you've kind of jumped over that and sort of on to the next thing. So is it a case of keeping eyes out for film roles, more sort of long play programs like this, or where do you see it going?
I honestly don't know whether I'm going to go back to stage or back to radio dramas or movies or TV. I think it just depends what comes up and what the actual production is, because it's not just for me about, oh, another role. It's like what that role is. And I think I have to like the role before I really let myself get involved in it. But no, I have a couple auditions, so that's always good. I don't know. You just never know what's going to come up.
Play it by ear, and you're still leaving plenty of time for yourself though to enjoy yourself, aren't you?
Oh yeah, I'm having a lot of time sleeping and hanging out with friends and back to education, which I've actually missed. So no, it's really nice to come back to my own bed.
Okay, so the Netflix series is Anne, isn't it? It's called Anne.
Anne with an E.
And people can stream it right now and check it out, and keep fingers crossed for season two, because I know a few people, as I was speaking to you before we started this, I've got stuff stacked up here, you know.
Yeah.
I have everything in a line and it's on the list and I'll get to it. But hopefully you'll get some great news on your auditions and season two coming up as well for that, hopefully.
Yeah, we hope so.
Thanks so much for coming on the program, and hopefully we'll chat to you again.
Thank you so much.
Have you missed Foy's Madness? Have you missed out on unbelievable value? Foy's Letterkenny and Balbuffet's maddest sale ever is still on. Furniture, paint, curtains, wallpaper and household all reduced to mind-boggling prices. Hurry! May Madness sale must end this Saturday at Foy's Letterkenny and Balbuffet.
At McGee's Chemist, you'll be glowing this summer with these top three tans as recommended by Claire. There's Cocoa Brown Tan at $6.95, Bronze Express Tan at $12.95, and Belmiata Tanning Lotion at $17.95. McGee's Chemist, Main Street, Letterkenny, where the best costs less.
It's easy to see why more people are doing their full shop at Lidl with super savers like mushrooms, parsnips and red onions only 39 cents each. And fresh Irish whole chicken, Hereford steak mince and Irish pork chops just €3 each. Plus, half price super weekend savers this Saturday and Sunday. Lidl, more for you.
We all want to build a better health service. And to do that, we need to hear from people using our services day to day. All adults who finished a stay in a general hospital during May 2017 are being invited to share their experience by taking part in the National Patient Experience Survey. Patients will be contacted after they leave hospital and invited to take part. For more information, visit patientexperience.ie. From the HSE, the Health Information and Quality Authority and the Department of Health.
Did you know the May Madness event is now on at McIlhenny's Ballybuffet with massive discounts in every department, including women's, men's, kids, footwear, home and gift, for the best in designer brands and great reductions that you won't find anywhere else. Get to the May Madness event now on at McIlhenny's Ballybuffet, in store and online at McIlhenny's.com.
Okay, you're hearing loads, of course, about the Rory Gallagher Festival, which takes place very shortly in Ballyshannon. Gerald Cosgrove, since you're with me now, and you're taking part in the festival, which I suppose it shows its diversity and it's the variety that's going on there. What are you doing, Gerald?
There's an act called Guitari Oki, which is karaoke, but it's about guitars.
And how does it work?
Well, so lots of people play guitars these days, and so they're like 10 a penny, but the Rory Gallagher Festival, we reckon there's bound to be more than the average people that play.
Mm.
So we got together with Pieta House, and they've opened up, as you know, very, very well in Letterkenny. So we're going to try and collect some funds for them. So as the people walk past us, we've two guitars
mm-hmm.
on a bench, and so it says, look, choose an axe.
Yeah.
And we're going to charge them a couple of quid, 30 quid, to play a tune. Now, I've downloaded a lot of bands off the internet, and so if it's U2, Coldplay, Jimi Hendrix, whatever, all the tracks are there. So you've just got to play the lead or whatever, or just sing if you want.
And too, with the Rory Gallagher Festival, people are out in the streets as well, so it's an opportunity for people to pick up the axe, as you call it, and perform publicly, which it's not... It's exactly. Not everyone gets that chance, you know, and it could be the next step.
We're giving them a certificate as well.
Right. You played the Rory Gallagher Festival.
Well, there it is. That's what it looks like.
Oh, very good. Rory's Legacy. Best Guitar Tone Winner. Rory Gallagher International Festival, Ballyshannon Certificate 2017. Nice one. So it's
most dated as well. You know, yeah. If anyone's from Canada and they get one of these, you know, they can say they've been there.
Yeah.
They've done that. Just that's what it's about. So.
And what's your musical background? What's your interest in, I suppose, harnessing and encouraging people to play? Is that where you're coming from?
Recently, yeah. Well, I'm trying to harness the sort of what Rory seemed to come across. I was a big fan of Rory Gallagher's way back in the 80s and 90s, and living in the north, I always went to see the, when he came home at Christmas from Germany, whatever, to see the gigs in Ulster Hall.
Mm.
So the show was fantastic, great showman, and he was probably one of the best blues man for giving it gusto and high energy and putting a lot of feeling there.
And you're not saying that retrospectively, that's what you felt at the time.
And lots of boys that are organising the festival below in Ballyshannon never seen them play.
Let's not be snobby about it. At the,
no, it's not that. No, they're the real workers.
I know. But we wouldn't all be getting together if it wasn't for them.
We were so lucky anyone may have to have seen them perform. Yeah. Like, it was unique.
Yeah. And it seems like some of the best talents taken away probably before he even reached his potential, as advanced as he was.
Sure, he's left a seed for us.
Yeah,
that energy, the love that he had for playing.
Mm.
I think the connection that musicians have with music can be used for mental health sufferers.
Oh, 100%. And that's a nice tie into the Pieta As side of things. I mean, is part of this a new hoping that maybe this would be the opportunity for someone to take the next step in their career, and who's to say where it could end up, and they might be able to trace it back to 2017 at the Rory Gallagher Festival?
Well, I think that if we googled the King's Fund in the UK, there's a gentleman there called Paul Farmer, and he's done a lot of research. If you googled that, you'd see there's a 15-minute talk, and he's telling everyone that we need to involve the young generation in a solution for self-harm and suicide. And so this is sort of like something similar in Ireland. So this is like an intervention where we can involve the young ones in a solution.
It's about inclusion, because there's no point us talking to each other. We have to be talking amongst ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. Look, lots of people can do this. All you need is to get spend a couple of hundred quid on an amplifier that can download the tunes.
Mm.
So any youth club can do it, involve the next generation. Some of them will get the seed that Gary Moore, that Rory Gallagher had.
Another great musician, though.
Yeah.
Where are you setting up in Ballyshannon? Do you know yet?
When?
Where?
Oh, yeah, it's on the main street.
Lovely.
And it's outside.
Excellent.
So we've got a lot of posters as well.
There's a great sort of energy and a great sort of interest in live music in Ballyshannon, Bundoran. Like, for instance, there's a lot of music in Ballyshannon, but there wouldn't be a nightclub. And there have been in the past, but 2017 and no nightclub, but the bars are full of people listening to live music. And the same applies to Bundoran, albeit nightclubs there. But what I'm trying to get at here, it is almost a unique kind of a place in that they always liked, I don't know, when people were listening to Technotronic in the 90s, they were listening to Happy Mondays and Stone Roses. Do you know what I mean? It was always like a little bit off the mainstream.
Yeah, well, I see where you're coming from. I used to walk the west of Ireland. If I happened to run in Kerry to someone from Donegal, Bundoran or Ballyshannon, I'll normally say, well, are you into music? Yeah. Because it just seems to be in the blood, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So it's just an ideal place to have it as well. It
sounds great. So it's guitar-yoki, but you're hoping it's not going to be like me singing karaoke. You want people to be able to play the guitar.
Why we want to go on Highland Radio is we want to tell the local guitar people to come along to it.
Yeah, definitely.
And just throw a couple of quid in the box and let's hear your your best rips.
It has the potential to be a big attraction, you know. Well, listen, thank you so much for calling in. The Rory Gallagher Festival is it the Bank Holiday weekend? It's next weekend.
It's starting on the 1st of June.
That's right. It kicks off Thursday the 1st of June. You're going to be in situ with Guitarioki right through the whole weekend, are you?
I should say that whenever I was looking for somewhere to do this, that the Finn McCool's pub on the main street in Ballyshannon said, look, we'll do that, you know. So they've gone out of their way, they've done a lot for us,
and gives you a great spot as well,
very accommodating. Mm-hmm. That's where this is going to be. We'll be playing on the street outside, sometimes inside the pub, Finn McCool's.
That's Grimes place, is it? No, it's not. That's the other place. Okay. Well, listen, it's going to be fantastic. Starts Thursday, so people can check you out. You'll be hanging around there. You've got backing tracks and whatever else is needed. You've got two guitars. Who's to say people might not both, a pair might pick them up and have a great jam.
There's a dry run this evening. Starts at
10. Oh, is there? I wonder how dry it'll be if it starts at 10, but anyway. So check out Guitarioki. It's also supporting Pieterhouse, and as Gerald says there, they have just opened in Letterkenny, and it's all these type of things that maintain those services and keep them running. It's been an absolute pleasure. Enjoy the festival. Starts next Thursday. Enjoy your part of it.